Blog Talk Radio.
Play the drums. Take me back, back to the shack, back to the strap with the lightning strap. Kick in the door, more hardcore, rocking out like it's 94. Let's turn up the radio, turn off those stupid singing shows. I know where we need to go, back to the shack. I finally settled down with my girl and I made up with my dad. I can find out who I am. I'm letting all of these feelings out, even if it means I fail. Cause this is what I was meant to do, and you can't put that on sale. Take me back, back to the shack, back to the shack with the lightning strap. Kicking the door, more hardcore, rocking out like it's 94. Let's turn up the radio, turn off those stupid things.
Thank you for that introduction, Matt. It's better than the normal boring, you know, "Hey, I'm Matt and this is Gar," and the show is called Matt and Gar's Podcast. So I appreciate the nice introduction.
Of course.
You're in a good mood today. What's up?
I'm very tired as always. Still in crafts class, week 3 of 8. So I don't know. I guess I got my second win right now.
Yeah, right now, because you were. I was even saying this to Matt before. I was saying when I came in, I said, "Damn, Matt, you're in a bad mood today. What's up? What's dragging?" And then all of a sudden, the lights came on, the mic came on, and there you go, professional. There it is.
Anyway, we have quite a bit to get into the show today. We have the Eagles game.
Yeah, well, there. That's the stake. We have a couple meat and potato. We have a couple potatoes to put around it, but.
Doesn't mean it's going to be the Eagles.
Yeah,
no
of course.
Make them, but we'll see. But before we get into that, how are you,
guys? I'm doing well. Thursday afternoon means one more day until Friday. Of course, it's everybody's favorite day because it's payday. It's the weekend. Besides that, you know, typical, normal, just hanging out, doing nothing. What about yourself?
Yeah, pretty much the same. For Jen's after this, we're going to have dinner.
Nice. What are you going to eat?
I don't know. Probably Pizza Hut or something.
It's always a good choice.
Not really, but...
Nah, it's terrible for you, but it tastes good.
I'm just lazy. I don't want to... She's like, "You want to go out?" I'm like, "Hell no, I'm tired."
Why don't you say you're a woman, get in the kitchen and cook me a dinner?
Yeah, you try
try that one.
Yeah, I don't think I would never say that either. So.
Anyway, let's get right into it. So, the Eagles.
There, yeah.
They had a must win, and Garrett called it. He said the Saints stink on ice.
No, they're terrible. I mean, they should have been 0-5 had Romo and Dez been healthy. They easily would have been 0-5. I mean, that win over Dallas was, you know, Dallas is struggling right now so much because of the injuries. Look, there's two halves to that game. First half was terrible. Sam Bradford threw the first red zone interception, was one of the worst passes you'll ever see in your life. The second one was a decent play by the defender, still unexcusable. You can't turn the ball over in the red zone. So, you know, we go in the half, we're up 10-7. Right, you know. Yeah, it's a terrible first half. And it gets you thinking because that's the way the season's been going. It's been a tale of two halves.
You know who that reminds me of? Who used to throw awful interceptions at opportune times?
Don't say Nick Foles.
Nick Foles.
Not nearly as much as Bradford's been throwing.
It was the same last year. Now, the year before, he had a great year.
Well, where's the upgrade then, though?
There's no upgrade. I think it's a lateral move at this point. However, the second half is starting to show signs that this offense may finally be catching on. However, it could be fool's gold because New Orleans' defense is so bad that me, Garrett, and a few of our friends could probably score on them.
Yeah, I don't know if we could score on them, but they are bad, and anybody playing at a professional or even D1 level probably could score some points on them. I see what you're saying. They obviously look better coming out in that second half. Still, though, you know, you got to take into account the Saints are a terrible team. And even when they look better, they didn't look great, you know. And there was a lot of points in last season where the Eagles offense gelled and with Nick Foles looked amazing. That's neither here nor there.
Let me ask you something. This is also something I discussed with Chuck, who's one of our friends who's in Fantasy Football League with you or two. Chuck mentioned that even with Foles, it took the Eagles usually one half to get started last year as well. You think that's a Chip Kelly thing?
It's a fair question if that's the trend that's been going on. I just don't see how his game plan. No, I see what you're saying. Right, you know, the first game against the Jacksonville, they started off terrible, came back.
At least the first half of the year, if not the whole year. Their first halves were awful.
Well, then, okay, so let's look at that. I mean, it's a fair question because it's been a trend. What would you think would be the cause of that?
Either Chip needs to get in the game flow to be effective, or I don't know.
See, well, Andy used to script the first 15 plays of the game. I'm not sure if does Chip do that. Does he have a script? He doesn't have a script.
No, but it seems like maybe he needs some time to adjust to the defense.
Right, but what I'm saying is, do you think he should maybe go into looking into a script? Because you have all week, you know, so this week we're playing the Giants. We have all week to look at the Giants' defense, to look at their strengths, their weaknesses.
Oh, by the way, guys, big news came out today. Prince Amukamara, the Giants, I guess, technically number one.
Yeah, he's a decent corner.
He is out 2 to 4 weeks.
Wow.
With a stomach injury.
I'll tell you what, the Eagles are rolling on this injury train. They're getting lucky at opportune times with people missing games.
Yeah, and Ruben Frank was on record today by saying the Eagles will score at least 40 points against this defense.
It's a bad I mean, it's not a great pass defense as is. Now, it obviously gets weakened. We'll talk about that, but I want to get back into the question Chuck proposed because it's a decent question. Now, you have all week to look at a defense, to look at their tendencies, to look at what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are, what kind of blitzes they like to run, what kind of coverages they like to drop into. Do you think that maybe he needs the game flow to kind of figure out the score, to figure out what's going on that day? But do you think that he should come in with a set script in mind of the first 10 to 15 plays? Obviously, you could always change it. You know, you don't have to stick to it.
I think he does, and maybe that's his filling out process to get the offense rolling. Maybe he has to see what the defense is giving them, and maybe he's waiting to see that. I think that all things must be looked at. I think if Chip is as smart as everyone says he is, then he would go beyond himself and maybe let the offensive coordinator coordinate a little bit.
Yeah, but we've seen Pat Shermer when he has, you know, decisions to make. He was a head coach, and are you comfortable with Pat Shermer making the decisions?
Absolutely.
I mean, Chip Kelly.
As an offensive coordinator, actually, yeah. I think that he was a very competent coordinator. I don't think he was ready for the lights of being a head coach. Head coaching in the NFL, first off, they get too much credit and too much play. Head coaching in the NFL, is like being a coordinator, unless you're like a Chip Kelly, or Bill Belichick, where you're taking over the whole team. They're mostly the CEO. They're delegating the actual work to their coordinator.
Right, that's understandable. And, of course, when you're...
Here's my point, though. I think Shermer was a bad head. I don't think he had the direction. He had the Cleveland Browns team moving in the right direction, where both halves were in sync with each other. However, I think as an offensive coordinator, he is a good coach. And I think he can game plan. And I think you've seen with his last stint with the Eagles, he can call plays.
Well, here's the situation with that. Chip Kelly's brand, his entire aura, everything about him is based on the fact that he's an offensive genius. So if that is your biggest strength, and you know, you're not known for defense, you're not known for specialty. Of course, as the head coach, I do agree with you. You have to delegate because you have to run everything. You don't have time to just strictly focus on just offense.
I have to say, I was not impressed with Billy Davis. However, after this year, I'm getting more impressed with Billy Davis because he's in a very tough situation where his defense is playing 75% of the time, and they're looking like an effective defense. So I think that Billy Davis might have been the right hire, and I might have been wrong on that. Anyway, go on.
Yeah, so, I mean, I agree. I'll get into Billy Davis in a second. Back to Chip. I see what you're saying, that Pat Shermer, you want to maybe make the calls. But here's the thing. Now you want him to make the calls for, what, the first quarter, and then Chip Kelly takes it as the game's going on?
Take ego out of it. This is the one thing that I don't know if Kelly can do. Because Kelly gets a lot of praise, and he does have an ego, deflects rather well. But everything that is pointed shows that he has an ego. Now, he didn't label himself a genius. However, he didn't say, no, I'm not a genius. I mean, he might have once or twice publicly, but he kind of laughs it off usually. I say, kick your ego out of it. And if you're not being effective for the first quarter or whatever, let someone else call the plays and you watch what's going on. Because I think that the game flow has a lot to do with how effective the Eagles' offense is running. And you can still observe that while someone else calls the plays.
And here's the problem with that, though. You're going to allow Pat Shermer to make the call. So here's the Eagles' game plan going into the week. You know, they review the defenses. They find out their weaknesses. They come up with a game strategy. We're going to run more. We're going to pass to the tight ends. We're going to go deep. Whatever they come up with. You're going to allow Pat Shermer to call it, and then here's the problem. Say that first quarter goes really successful. Say you drop 3 touchdowns, then you're going to take the reins away from him. And on the opposite end, say that first quarter is a disaster. Say you have 2 interceptions, you don't pick up a first down, you punt the ball 4 times. Are you going to allow – and say you're playing a good offense like Green Bay, who puts 14 points up already midway through the first quarter. Then are you going to allow him to stick to the game plan as the head coach and continue making that calls? Or are you going to worry about falling too deep? So it's both ends of the spectrum there.
Hold on. I'm still taking the calls away. To answer your question, yes, I'm still taking the calls away from him no matter what, because I'm running the Andy Reid-style offense. All right, Pat, we're going to have a script. You make the script. After that, I'm going to judge the game flow, and I'm going to assume the reins. Now, while it's not perfect, while it's not you're not going to give up all the control. At least you're giving up some of the control. And the lines are defined, and that's part of what the head coach has to do is delegate.
So, but as the CEO of a company, so say I'm the CEO of a company and you're my right-hand man, and I say, Matt, I need you to come up with a presentation that we have to put through. So you're going to write the presentation, you're going to draw it up, you're going to go on the computer, make the slides, everything. Now, before that presentation, though, you're going to have to come to me, and I'm going to have to approve it. So what you're saying is Pat Shermer is going to draw up all these game plans. But Chip Kelly's still going to have to approve it, which means Chip Kelly still basically has to decide what's going on in that first quarter. So if it's a success or it's a failure, yes, he does, because if Pat Shurmur comes to him with that script and he says, you know what, Pat, I don't want to run these plays, you know, just like if I'm the CEO and you come to me with a presentation and I say, I want you to change this.
You're misunderstanding what I'm saying. While he is that case, I think he's got to take it out of his own hands and just say, all right, Pat, for one game, we're going to see how you can do. You're going to script the first quarter. And I'm going to follow the game plan, and I will take over after. This is what you are doing. You're scripting these plays. You have control for this game. We'll see how it goes. And I think that you do it on a trial basis, like everything is on the NFL, because the margin for error is almost nil. I mean, one or two bad seasons gets a coach fired in the NFL.
No, I understand that completely. And that's point of...
So that's why I think that you can't give him total control. However, you can say, for this game, I'm going to give you control.
Right.
And we'll see what happens.
I disagree with you there. I understand your point. I mean, it's a valid point. Obviously, things aren't working out now, so you have to look for something to make it work. I just don't feel like if Pat Shurmur's game flow is working great and you're scoring points, you could just take the reins away from him and then go back to a different... Because he's the head coach, I know, and he could do anything he wants. Yeah, but still, I think that you're going to want to run similar plays to what you've been running that's successful, or vice versa, if the game plan's working terribly and say a team jumps out to a 14-0 lead, you know, you can't get behind 21-0. You can come back from it, but you can't come back from it.
Yes, you can, because Kelly's offense would do that anyway.
Against what teams, though, Matt? When we're playing better teams, we can't afford that
I
to happen.
I understand, but I'm just letting you know, with the game flow that's happening right now, the same situation's going to happen. The definition of insanity is doing
the same thing over and over and expecting results. Right. But I understand the definition of insanity, but there's also a right way to go about things and a wrong way to go about things. And I don't think that that's the best strategy. I'm not against Pat Shurmur calling plays. I'm not against Pat Shurmur having a bigger input in the offense. I'm not against Pat Shurmur doing any of that. But.
Thinking about it for 10 minutes, but the more I thought about it, the more I thought it would be great. Now, having said that, this is completely unrealistic. Chip Kelly will not give up any control of his football team.
And
I think that is going to be his biggest step.
And I'm not a Chip Kelly. I mean, everybody knows, I'm not a Chip Kelly hater. I'm not a Chip Kelly fan. I don't think he's a genius. I don't think he's the worst coach in the world. I think he's a better coach than he is a GM. I'm definitely on record for that. But I don't think Chip Kelly should give up that power. When you're the head coach in the NFL, it's on you. Like you said before, 2-3 bad seasons gets you fired. You know, Chip Kelly's whole reputation is based on being an offensive genius. If he really is an offensive genius, if he really is an offensive mastermind,
right,
he needs to come up with something to save his job, to save his season, and to save this team.
Right, but he also needs to learn his weaknesses and try to improve on them. That's one of the things that I think that Andy Reid did, too. Andy Reid, when he first came in, those scripted plays work like a charm.
I think
by the end of his tenure, teams were figuring it out. And he never adjusted to that. Now, he, too, was a coach who did better in the second half and needed some time for his offense to gel and get the game sync. I'm just saying what Chip Kelly needs to do, if he is this genius, is adjust. Because all the other NFL coaches adjust when they come through this. In college, it's a completely different situation. His system and the speed that they run, even with 4 or 5 plays, the college kids and the athletes that they have can outmatch the other college coaches. In the NFL, it's not as easy. So that's why I'm saying you got to look anywhere you can to improve. And if you can't look from without, I would look from without as well. But I think it starts from within, and you say, okay, Pat, let's see what you can do for one quarter, and if it doesn't work, you're done. and we're going to look from without, or not. Now, like I said, this is completely unrealistic. Chip Kelly will not do this. I just hope that he finds some sort of solution that gets his teams off to better starts, which I don't know if he can do.
Speaking of adjustments, do you think there's any merit to Chip Kelly adjusting from Philadelphia winters to Southern California, beautiful weather year-long, now that Sarkisian's out?
I can't. Let's talk about that for a second.
All right, but I do want to get back into what you were saying with Shermer and the offense. But, yeah, let's go with that.
What kind of idiot is Steve Sarkisian?
He has an alcohol problem.
Apparently, but, I mean, who does that?
AA's been around for years, you know. There's.
Yeah, but, I mean, who does this professionally? Who does this?
No, it's obviously he's made some bad choices, and the head coach of the University of Southern California is a dream job to many. So when you're in that spot, you don't give it up. But
I just quitting for a health reason, or did he just quit on his team?
I just saw that he retired. I didn't really see much news after that. I just saw his retirement was effective immediately.
Yeah, and it's not so much a retirement as quitting. Now, the defense.
There's probably something to it because.
Well, the defense for it is he didn't want to come back this year. He was talked into it.
Right, but since you came back this year, since you made a commitment to those kids, I feel like you should stick it out.
I do too, unless there's a health reason.
Unless you're sick, of course. I mean, if you're really sick and you have something to take care of, by all means. But if he just quit because, you know, he just woke up one morning and said, I'm tired of this. Well, there's a roster of 90-something players that gave their commitment to Steve Spurrier. You know, college is 4 years. That's not a large opportunity. You have 4-year window to play in college. So when you give a commitment to a coach, you expect him to be there.
Gamecocks had no shot luring anyone.
No, Southern California is a decent job. It's an SEC school.
About South Carolina.
Yeah. It's an SEC school.
It's an SEC school, but
any SEC school is a desirable job.
Sort of, but I don't think that they're going to get anyone with the cachet of a Steve Spurrier or even close.
No, I mean, Steve Spurrier is one of those coaches whose name, you know, the cream rises to the top. I mean, he's accomplished so much, both as a player and a coach.
He's done nothing since his
time. Recently, right.
But anyway, neither here nor there. Getting back to what we were talking about.
Sarkisian or?
No, with the Eagles.
Well, let me ask you this then. Let's get back into that. We'll get back to the Eagles. So, would you ever. I do want to get back to the Eagles. I do want to get back to the Eagles, but now my thing's picking in. Would you. So you said Steve Sarkisian showed up to work. Is that what it was? He showed up to work drunk a bunch of times and they asked him to leave?
Well, he did it at one event and they got him help. And then he had a meeting with the boosters.
Right.
And he showed up.
See, here's the difference now. You go to an event and you have a couple of drinks and you have a good time.
No,
that's not being an alcoholic.
He was showing up to an event to speak with boosters.
Right. That's true. You got to show up. Judgment because you're speaking to guys who are going to pay your paycheck. They're paying his checks. The boosters pay his checks.
Yeah, it's representing college.
Right. Well, plus, not to mention the fact that they already lost 2 games this year after they were a ranked team preseason. So, I think the combination of...
ASU.
There you go.
I would say ASU.
What's their team mascot name?
Sparky.
No, I mean, what's their team name?
The Sun Devils.
The Sun Devils, there it is. So, let me ask you this. So, say you're an employer and you have a guy who comes to work and he might have an alcohol problem, might have a drug problem, but he shows up to work every day and he's killing it. Like, he's, say you're in finance and this guy's making you know, you're making your company bundles and bundles of dollars. Would you let him go? Because then it becomes more of a moral question as far as was he let go because he has the problem or is he let go because he has the problem and are not winning?
I think I'd do what they did. Give him treatment. Get him to help. And then if he can't fix himself, I'm sorry, I'll let you go because trying to...
So in business, where the dollar is the bottom line, just like in football where winning is the bottom line, or maybe in college football, the dollar is the bottom line also, and professional football. Actually, everything in the world, the dollar is the bottom line. But let's look at it out from outside that box for a second. So you're saying that your best employee, and I'm not saying, you know, Steve Sarkisian is maybe not a good coach. I don't know much about him. But I'm saying this, your best employee shows up to work every day, either high or drunk, but he is making you bundles of cash, and it's not affecting his work at all. What do you do?
Well, personally, I think the lifestyle should as long as you can keep it under wraps and he's not reflecting your company, because you got to take into account.
Right, it's a reflection on your company. If he's showing up to events and he looks like an asshole,
right,
people aren't going to appreciate that.
Now, that's when I would draw the line, because the money that he brings in is short term, whereas the image that he projects that my company is going to be represented by is long term.
Has a longer lasting effect.
And you never know the aftershocks of what happens now. I've learned through my life that you never know who you're talking to. So always try to represent your best self, because you might assume that someone means nothing to you, or you'll never see them again, but you never know.
I think Michael Jordan or somebody said that. I know somebody. I don't know. I don't think you can quote Matt Berkowitz on that one. But
I never heard it, but that's an observation I've made.
It was one of the athletes, and they said that they always dress nice, they always wear a suit, they always speak well, and they said the reason why is because people know who they are, but they don't know other people. Like, you know who Michael Jordan is. You might not know him personally, but you know who he is. He's a figure. He's a celebrity. But what I'm saying is, if he meets me one time in his life, you know, I'm always going to remember Michael Jordan because he's Michael Jordan. He's not going to remember me, so he wants to look good. Right.
That's what I'm saying. It's more important for a person like me or you than a person like Michael Jordan. Because
and I'm not sure he was the guy who said it, so I don't want to say it was him, but...
But any big athlete. Because that athlete already is financially set, for the most part, most likely. And they, you know, they don't really need anything. Now, for us, we're still middling in our respective jobs. And we're just getting into the podcast world. So there's a lot of people who could be higher or help us out in one way or another. And the way I feel is it doesn't take that much effort to be a good person and to be nice to everyone. You might as well do it because, like I said, you never know who you're talking to and how they're related to you in business, in life, in anything.
No, I agree with you 100%. I'm not going to disagree to that point. You really don't know who you're talking to. It could be – and it's not even just the point of what they can do for you. You know, it's not like, well, I better be nice to this guy or this girl because they can maybe push me forward somewhere. I mean, in general, you should just be respectful to everybody. Now, the problem is – everybody doesn't feel the same way you feel.
Absolutely.
So, you know, while you go out of your way to be a gentleman, to be nice, not overly nice where you sound like a little bitch, but, you know, nice enough, other people will just be straight assholes to you. So now you gotta figure out where's the line in that.
Yeah, I try to blow that off. But that's the thing. That's where we're going to differ in our opinions, because I've been in the service industry for a really long time. My current job is as a dealer. Before that, I was in security. Before that, I was working at the gas station. So I'm on the front line of customer service. And customer service, you have to represent your company, and you absolutely have to blow that stuff off, especially in security. Security, when I was doing security for a college, those kids would be merciless. And they would sit there, and they would, you know, use me as their verbal punching bag. But I was local parenti. I was responsible for these kids, and I had to let it roll off my shoulder.
Well, there's always a difference in the work environment
that what rubs off to you in regular life, and you get more trained to it. And I hate to say it, but there are some people who are less than nice in the place where I work, which is Philadelphia,
less than nice, everybody. That is Matt's big damn. He's coming at them hard. Less than nice.
Less than nice.
They're less than nice. That reminds me of, did you ever see on Facebook, there's a, you know how they always send around, they send those stupid videos and the memes and stuff. And there's a video of this kid, and he gets all aggravated because there's probably some jerk-offs making fun of him in the background. And he turns around and he says something like, "You're going to make me say this. I don't want to say this." And he's real serious about it. And, you know, obviously the tension's building up because everybody's looking to see what he's saying. And the kid next to him sitting there looking, and he goes, I'm not sorry that you broke your elbow. Something like that. It was hilarious. You had to see it. It was the way it was built up. Kind of reminds me of your situation.
Right, but I'm phrasing it that way.
For people who saw that video, they know it's funny.
I'm phrasing it that way for a reason. I feel like I'm to deal with them because I'm more used to it, and I just kind of let a lot of things run off my shoulder. I know
that's good. It's good and bad.
I know that this podcast is not a visual thing. But I am a big, intimidating guy, for most people think. And if you get to know me, you'll know I don't fight. I haven't fought since middle school. I think high school I had one or two fights.
P to the Y, you could fill in the middle.
But I'm just saying, I'm not the intimidating person that you would think I am if you ran into me on the street. But being big, I never had people mess with me until, like I said, I got into security, and then it just kind of came with the job. Now, a lot of my counterparts, A, are younger than me, who are dealers, and B, just don't have the experience in dealing with assholes. I'm sorry, college kids, a lot of them can be assholes. They just can. So the experience of dealing with that, you're nice, and if they're not nice back, you let it go.
I feel you. Now, I understand where you're coming from.
Now, I don't think that you feel the need to do that, because I think that it's a little different when you're not facing the public every day. You know what I mean?
No, I understand where you're coming from. I mean, I definitely agree, obviously. And you could see it from the news. And again, we're going to get back into the sports in a second, because we kind of fell, of course. But, I mean, you see from the news, you know, police officers, they're in bad situations. You got people who every day, people are complete.
I lost my security job because the first job was security, and I was technically the supervisor. And, of course, they were better than me at that job, being that I got fired from my job, and they're in law enforcement.
No, I side with the police. When they use excessive force on people sometimes – sometimes it's deserved. I don't like when people, you know, if you see, I know some cops and I talk to them and they say that things have been getting worse for them. That now with all the videos, with all the Black Lives Matter, with all the everything else going on, people are extra rude to them. They're extra, you know, not cooperating because they feel like they're entitled to. They feel like that what they're doing doesn't matter and what they can't do. Yeah, we'll save that for off the podcast. That's true. We'll save that. Let's get back into the Eagles. You're right.
I'll tell you something real quick.
No, because then I'm going to say something real quick, and then you're going to say something real quick, and then real quick is going to turn into an hour and a half.
And I'll let you have the last word afterwards. But I remember right before I left for Arizona, I was seeing some girl, and she lived in the Frankfurt section.
And just for the record, I don't have ADD. I don't feel like that's a real thing. I feel like people use that as an excuse. But
anyway, Northeast Philly, Frankfurt section, we walked past some guy. She said, "Hey," and I was like, "Oh, who's that?" She's like, "Oh, that's Mike. He robbed the Wawa 2 weeks ago." I'm like, "Wait a minute. Why doesn't anybody tell the police?" And it's part of the culture that no, you don't snitch. There's no snitch. What is it? Attitude. In today's society, is going to ruin. It's ruining our communities. My family had to move out of Northeast Philly. We love Northeast Philly, but this kind of attitude just absolutely ruins communities and cities. And everyone thinks it's okay. I understand that there might be consequences, but what about, you know, community pride, standing up for your community, realizing that robberies affect everyone? I mean, it just drives me nuts. And I know you're very pro-law enforcement. I'm guessing you have much of the same views.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, why not? If somebody's doing the wrong thing, then they absolutely deserve to be punished.
Would you tell someone who robbed a store if you knew about it?
It depends if I like that person or not.
Let's see.
I probably wouldn't tell on anybody, to be honest with you. anyway, if it was something that nobody got hurt. Whether I liked the person or not, I'm not really a snitch.
Well, gun was used, but no one got hurt.
I don't know. I'm not really a snitch. That's not really my thing.
Exactly.
But
that's part of my point. Society has agreed with us that it is no good to be a snitch.
But here's the thing. If the cops were there and they witnessed the robbery, they called him and he had a gun and he pulled that gun, or he had the gun in his hand and they felt it was an immediate threat and they used some kind of force, and that's warranted because all their lives are at risk too. So if there's a gun involved and they happen to shoot him or they happen to tackle him and slam him to the ground, I don't want to hear later on that, you know, he wasn't doing anything wrong, that the cops were using excessive force.
Right, but I'm going to argue along the same lines. And I don't want to hear from you that your community is going downhill because of gun crime and
listen,
other crime.
That's true. That's fair.
Because, you know, you don't want to snitch. Anyway.
That's fair. Let's get back to the Eagles. We're back to sports, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to the podcast. We are a sports podcast.
Sometimes they're the most interesting.
They are.
But we are a sports podcast. And we must get back.
Yeah.
So like we were saying,
because our problem is we do kind of just go off on tangents and then
we don't get back
to them.
Especially in the slow sports
week. Yeah, it is a slow week. So anyway, back to what we were talking about with Chip Kelly and Pat Shermer, because I think that was a fair question. And again, we both had our points of view whether we thought it was a good idea or a bad idea. I just think it's a bad idea. I think it's like the two quarterback system, and you know how they say if you have two quarterbacks, you don't really have one. I know Chip Kelly's the head coach, and I know you're saying that after the first quarter, regardless of the situation, good, bad, or the other, he takes the reins back. But I feel like there might be too much give and take. There might be too much pull. I'm not against Pat Shermer calling plays and Pat Shermer being more involved in the offense. I'm not against that at all. I'm just not for the switcheroo, the I'll take this quarter, you take that quarter.
Actually bringing that more out as an example of what I would do.
And here's another thing.
Hold on, but I am saying that Kelly needs to go beyond himself and adjust something if he is a genius.
No, I'm listening. I agree with you 100%. I've made that point also. I feel like if he's not getting the job done, he needs to look at other avenues. I definitely agree with you on that. Here's another situation. We're 2-3. We're 0-2 in the division. We're playing the Giants. Obviously the season's not over. Mathematically, you're in it. If you lose this game and you go to 0-3 in the division, you're in a tough spot. You win this game, all of a sudden you're in a decent spot based on everything that's gone on. Where and when, and this goes for even a few weeks down the line, because this team's not, 4-1 or not 5-0. They really can't afford to have a bad quarter. Where do you use this testing? Like, what game do you choose to do this test run? And I'm not saying just a Pat Shermer thing, just if you choose any other avenue.
I would say this is the game.
You think this is the game to do it, because this is the most important game of the season.
Absolutely, and that's why, because what you've been doing isn't working, so you have to change something.
But what you've been doing in the second half is working, so now...
Right, I would continue that, but I would do something different for the first half.
Don't you think that they could just look at the second half and get a better idea of what they've been doing differently?
No, because I think if they could, they would have. After 4 games.
I think, like you said, Chip Kelly's pretty stubborn, and he might just say, this is what I'm doing.
It's possible, but if so, then sometimes I think that your ego, personally, as your friend, I think sometimes your ego definitely is a detriment to you, and I wish you would move past that. However, there have been other times where you've moved way past that, and you've been... And it's helped you a lot. But it's a tough thing to do. Getting past one's ego is extremely...
It's a very tough thing to do. It's very tough. And, I mean, it's very tough to do. And I don't envy Chip Kelly for the situation he's in, because...
Me too.
It's not really a...
I'm with my ego as well. God, my girlfriend will be the first to tell you that. We got in a fight last night. Pure ego. And I was cranky.
So your ego awesome lost the situation a lot?
Yeah, it does.
It does.
Especially last night, because I was, again, working 8 hours and going to class for 4 hours and being on your feet 12 hours. I'm a little cranky sometimes.
You need a Snickers bar? You know, what were we talking about last week from what we're comparing things and more, that's more pathetic. What were we talking about? I don't remember. I wanted to bring it up in a point, but since I don't remember, we'll just move on. So anyway, it was about the ego thing. No, but that what were we comparing it to is what I was saying. We're comparing it to Byron Maxwell. We're comparing it to Nnamdi Asamoah. We're comparing it to. They're both things that are pretty pathetic. But either way, would you say that Chip Kelly's ego could be in that category as something that's potentially so pathetic and so detrimental to the team that?
I'm not ready to say that yet.
No, like you said, an ego helps also because sometimes you could go against the grain and everybody could say go left and you're saying go right and you go right and right's the right way to go. I know I used the word right there a lot, but I'm just saying. So I don't think that it's necessarily a terrible thing. And I think that they do need to look more into the second half. I think they need to script plays. I think the running game's still not good. I think personally I would divvy up the carries. I'd give Ryan Matthews like 70% of the carries.
Line is starting to gel a little bit.
I don't think DeMarco had a good game last game. I know he had 27 touches and he had like 80 something yards. Seven of those were receptions, but I don't think DeMarco had a great game. From what I've seen this year, running styles, the way they're running the football, I would go with something, and I'm not even kidding, money aside, I would go with like Ryan Matthews getting 70% of the carries, DeMarco maybe 20, and then Spurls. It's not going to happen, right, because of the money. Because of the ego, because of the money. But that might help you in the first quarter because you haven't been able to run the ball. I said Sproles, give Sproles like 10% of the carries and get him the ball and as a pass catcher as well. No, I think right now Matthews is the best runner on the team as of today. And I think that it could also help you in the first quarter because they haven't been able to run the ball, because they've been feeding it to DeMarco, because he's the number one back, because he's being paid the most money, because Chip Kelly brought him in to be the guy. I think that could help you because if you're running the ball better in the first quarter, team's defense is weakened. When their defense is weakened, it opens up more in the passing game. I also think you need to get Ertz more involved. I know we talked about you don't think he's that exceptional. I don't think he's Rob Gronkowski, but I think on a team that lacks playmakers at the receiver position, he's a guy who can be a mismatch. I think you need to get him more involved. I like going deep. I think that you still need to run some more deep plays than they've been doing. I think that there's a lot that Chip Kelly can do as the head coach with personnel, with this team, with scheming, that can get you off to quicker starts. Now, to your point about Billy Davis and defense, I think the defense has been tremendous all year. I think last year the defense wasn't bad. It's just the corners. Every year it's been the corners. We're trying to fix it, but it's not quite working. Yeah, but he's only one. You need three at least.
Yeah, he needs two.
You need a slot. You need a third because nowadays teams run three wideout sets just as much as they run two wideout sets. Safeties don't cover in one-on-one coverage. You might double team somebody over the top or double team down low, but it's not preferred. I'll put it that way. It can happen, but it's not preferred. But you know what? Let's get two corners, and then we'll worry about the third. I agree there.
Yeah.
So, and I think for the first time, the pass rush came to play, mainly Fletcher Cox. I think we've been lacking pass rush all year. Connor Barwin, he's a good player. He had a great season last season. He hasn't been getting to the quarterback the way I'd like to see. Obviously, Thornton's hurt. He was never much of a pass rusher, more of a run stuffer. Benny Logan's playing well. You know, you want to see Curry. You want to see Graham's not doing really. So, I think that another reason that the corners look so bad is because quarterbacks have time. Other than last week, we don't really have a pass rush. Would you recommend maybe coming in with more blitzes early on to try to force some things?
More for anything that makes the defense more effective.
Yeah, but that's pretty – I'm all for anything that makes the offense more effective. You know, I'm all for anything that makes anything more effective.
I am not a football coach, and I do not know the particulars of whether we should blitz more or not. I mean, if you can give me blitzes the way that Jim Johnson used to? Absolutely.
So what do you know best? Not sports. It could be sports. It could be something else. Just what would you say that is your...
I used to know sports best. But now
it could be anything. What do you... Craps. Okay.
It's all in my mind right now. All right.
So I don't know craps much, so it's hard to make an analogy here. I was going to try to make a comparison.
I don't really know craps that well. I'm honestly just learning. My mind's been on that plus dealing high yield poker.
How many hours a week is your mind on that? Yeah.
60?
That's another full-time job plus.
I don't even 32 hours a week.
Wow. Well, is it getting better? I mean, how's the Pi Gal going?
Well, you got to think 32 plus 20 hours a week of school, so 52.
Yeah.
So I'm estimating up to 60. Cause
right. So you're at 112 if you add the 60 and the 52.
No, it's 32 plus
20. Oh, you're just saying in general. You're adding time you work, too.
8 hours or so, because when I leave, usually I still have payouts and that crap.
Yeah, closing, of course.
So, yeah, about 60 hours a week.
It's a lot of poker. It's a lot of Pi Gal poker.
Well, Pi Gal's mindless, but it's mostly craps.
Yeah. I do want to learn how to play craps.
You should learn how to play Pi Gal poker. It's actually a fun game.
It's just you just play the dealer, right?
Yeah.
And you get 2 cards and 5 cards.
Right. Two-card hand can't be better than a five-card hand. It's really easy. You just learned it.
Yeah, I just learned it. There it is. So you can find me at the Pi Gal table now. I'll be the guy winning all of Matt's money and all of Harry's money, and we'll see what happens from there. Yeah, obviously I was being facetious. Anyway, moving back to the Eagles, I think that's a couple things that they could do, that they could work on both offensively and defensively, even though the defense hasn't been a problem. Now, here's the situation. ODB is hurting. Ruben Randle's hurting. You just heard that Prince tongue twister. He's out. Vereen could have a bigger role. Dwayne Harris could have a bigger role. Larry Donnell could have a bigger role. But they're not guys you're afraid of. What are you giving right now with a full healthy Giants team, what's your prediction of the game?
I think the Eagles win big.
With a fully healthy team.
Oh, with a fully healthy
Giants team? With a fully healthy Giants team, with Amaki Moore, with Rick DeCruz, with Odell Beckham, all of them.
I think it's a very close game. I think the Eagles might win because they're a little more desperate, but it would be like around a 28-25 game.
And what do you think it is right now?
40-14.
But the only one who you know is definitely out is Prince, because Beckham's still up there to play. Randall's still questionable to play. So, you're still going with the 40 to...
Yeah, Cruz, I don't know if he's...
I don't think Cruz is going to play, but he hasn't played all season, so...
And he wouldn't be the same Cruz, and I don't think Randall's a big deal.
He's the number two.
I do think that Amu Kamara is that big a deal, because
he's their best corner.
Well, yeah, and they're a suspect defensive passing anyway.
The strength is they're number one against a run. They're great against a run. So if they get shut the Eagles' run game down, then you have to fully rely on Bradford. I'm not ready to say I'm comfortable doing that. Are you?
I'm not comfortable with anything. I'm sort of comfortable, but...
Right.
Sorry, guys. Let me come to Jared.
Apparently, I'm not very good at speaking English.
We're dealing with some problems. But, real quick, I just wanted to touch on, we're going to get right back to the Eagles. The Flyers did win a few games with shutouts. Wofford Mason is out, and their backup, who was originally apparently a starter for Columbus before Bobrovsky got there, has 2 shutouts. What do you think, Gare?
I think she said no. She said no. She said no.
Okay. He's obviously referring to Patrick Kane.
That was the chant. What do you think of that?
I think that whole thing was a hoax because he's not being charged. I understand that athletes sometimes get privilege, but with this whole thing, something's really fishy with the fact that he hasn't been charged. And a lot of what's been said has been discredited.
Yeah, listen, I'll be the first to say that.
And I think that chant's inappropriate. If in fact, you know, it didn't happen.
I agree with this. It might not have happened. I mean, you know, I think obviously it does happen sometimes, and it doesn't happen sometimes.
This isn't a Roethlisberger situation where he's going to pay her off. She's asked for a payoff, and he's told her no. And that's what an innocent person would do.
Listen, I'm not.
Roethlisberger makes him suspect because as soon as someone starts talking about him, he throws up billions of dollars. Like, here you go, shut your mouth.
I'm not arguing the fact that he's guilty or innocent. I don't know. He could be innocent. He absolutely could be innocent. And she could just be making the whole thing up. And that is 100% credible. And it's very, very good possibility of that happening. It's happened to somebody I know who I went to college with. He could be guilty. He could be guilty on the other side.
And you could be excused with your college friend because you're too close to the situation.
Well, I don't know. Well, I said I don't know if Patrick is guilty or not. He could be guilty. He could not be guilty.
Right.
Either way, listen, you go to you're a professional athlete. You're going to get chance. You know, you're going to hear a lot of
there's
things.
There's chance and there's inappropriate chance.
I don't actually think there's anything as an inappropriate chance. And here's my reason why. Because in anything, in sports, in politics, in social issues, everybody has the right to say what they want to say. You know, you can go on Facebook and you could see 7 billion inappropriate comments about all the politicians, about all the social issues, about every race, every religion, every sexual preference, everything. Now, are they inappropriate too? Is everybody going to go in and cry and say that they're inappropriate? Or are they going to say, well, we think that guy's an idiot who said that? You know what I mean? So these people are paying money to go to the game. They're going to yell what they want to yell. And if you can't handle it, that's on you. Whether it's inappropriate or not, it happens in every aspect
right.
of life.
I don't think it's very tasteful or classy, let's just say.
Right, but then you have the right to sit there and not participate.
Of course, which I won't. But that's just my opinion of it.
But when somebody goes out and they say that this politician's this, or they say that this social issue is that, or they say that this race is this, or this religion is that. Well, I'm just saying, what do you feel about that?
What do you think about Schilling's tweet? Did you hear
it? Yeah, I loved it. I loved it. I couldn't watch that Democratic debate. It was terrible. Bernie Sanders, ridiculous. Hillary Clinton, ridiculous. So he's already out. Why not say something controversial now?
For all of you who missed it, Kurt Schilling said the real winner of the Democratic debate was ISIS.
And he was right. I would have favored it if I knew where it was. But that's neither here nor there. My point is that he could say something like that, okay, and you're going to say it's an inappropriate comment. Now, what does that mean, though? Like, what is that? Who cares?
Now, I mean,
you could disagree with it.
Hold on. I'm going to take these issues one at a time. Yelling, she said no. It's inappropriate because no one was there, and no one knows if she actually said no or not. And I think Schilling's comment is absolutely 100% should be protected. He should not face any repercussions, even from his corporate, from where he stands, from where, you know, ESPN, I guess, is who hires him.
I don't think he's there anymore, right?
I think he's on leave right now from his first thing that he did.
Okay.
But
what did he do? What was his first thing?
I don't remember. But he was like a month ago. He's on leave from that, and that's when he makes his ISIS comment. Now, I've been listening a lot to another podcast I'm going to recommend to everyone, Brett Easton Ellis. He's an author. He wrote Rules of Attraction, American Psycho, and Less Than Zero. But anyway, he talks a lot about the corporatization of the country, maybe even the world, where we have to censor ourselves on Facebook, on Twitter, everywhere, because we never know who's listening. I mean, and Gary and I have had private conversations. There's certain things we don't want to say on the podcast because we're afraid that, you know, our employers may hear it, and who knows what repercussions could happen. But I think that you lose a lot in society when everyone starts doing that. And I'm glad there's people like Richard Sherman. And like we had a topic before. What foursome would you want to play golf with? Kurt Schilling just moved into that. And I really respect guys who will go out on a limb and say, you know what? I am whoever I am. I don't care what these people or corporations will do to me. I have an opinion. And even if it's not a popular opinion, as Garrett knows, I am pretty far to the left. And I absolutely believe that if I am really to the left, I am all for what Schilling's saying. And that the censorship, even self-censorship, which is even worse, is horrible for society. But anyway, Garrett.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's a huge situation going on in this country. The political correctness is reached an all-time high. You can't say this, you can't say that. It's terrible. And that's my point about the chant. Now, you're going on both sides of the fence here. You're saying the chant's inappropriate, but you shouldn't have to be completely censored. You know what I mean? So if you could say one derogatory comment, why is that better than another?
All right. Obviously, I'm not for arresting anyone for, or even getting anyone in trouble for saying that. I'm saying it's tasteless. And I'm saying I don't endorse it as a member of this city.
And that's fair. And
that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that we should censor and tell people, fuck, F you can't say that.
Right.
But
that was
I am saying as a part of the community,
yeah.
I don't endorse.
And that's fair, and I'm not saying...
And I don't endorse Schilling's statement either. However, I am all for him saying it, because that makes me respect him a lot more, because he's the kind of guy who's not worried about the repercussions, who's going to speak his mind.
I think right now how it works is everybody preaches political correctness until it's against...
Until it's inconvenient.
Right, and... So, say I really hate somebody, or I really hate a subject. I really hate somebody. Now, I am going to go around and I'm going to say, you can't say this, you can't say that about everybody else, but then I'm going to join in and saying something derogatory about them. There's a lot of hypocrites in this world, and a lot of people chanting for political correctness when it's convenient for them, when it's against something, when it's something for their agenda. So, I feel like this. I feel either you're politically correct, or you're not. Obviously, I'm not saying to say whatever you want. There has to be some censorship, and you have to police yourself. You have to police your friends. You have to police your family, and that's the best way to get things done, because they're probably going to listen to you more than they're going to listen to somebody else. But to go and get all the judgment coming in on all the Philadelphia fans, who I'm not saying whatever, who on all the Philadelphia fans, everything I've been hearing about how you know, disgraceful, disrespectful, how trashful they are. But then when somebody says something derogatory about Donald Trump, people applaud him. When somebody says something derogatory or tasteless about another candidate, people applaud that. You can't do that. If you're going to be who you're going to be and you're going to stand for something, then stand for it. Don't be a hypocrite and don't only stand for something when it's convenient for you. And that's the problem I have with the situation, with the people coming in against it, but then celebrating something derogatory towards something else. It has nothing to do with Donald Trump. I just said people will say derogatory comments about Donald Trump, and other people will applaud that. People will say tasteless things about Donald Trump, and you'll have a section of people who will applaud that.
Hold on. Now, what I'm saying is far different than what the Philadelphia fans were chanting. It was something far different than what attacks were being said by someone who was running for the highest political office in this country who signed up for that. What I am saying is right now the facts of the case, of the King case,
yeah,
specifically that
right.
case,
yeah,
are looking like he was a guy who was falsely accused. Now that is a completely different situation from a guy who is running for political office.
And here's why I'm going to say the situation's closer than you're making it out to be. Because a lot of the comments coming in about Donald Trump could be false. You know, obviously when people are running for politics, rumors come out, this comes out, that. And that's for everybody. I just use Donald Trump, but you could use any candidate. You could use anybody, any celebrity, read all these gossip magazines. Things come out that necessarily aren't true. But when they're said, people aren't that against it. Now, Patrick Kane,
whoa. But there are real repercussions with the Patrick Kane thing. If what was said was being a lie and everyone's yelling, she says no, and somehow that became an opinion of the masses and somehow made it to a jury, there are real repercussions for that. For the quote-unquote lies that you say, that people make fun of Donald Trump. Again, a guy running for political office, which he signed up for. I don't think Patrick Kane signed up for being falsely accused. Now, I'm not saying that he was falsely accused, again, because I was not there. I am saying that what the police are saying is that the evidence is really shady. The person has gone back on their statement several times. They've tried to get a payout, and Kane has been completely unwilling to do so. And I'm saying that because of the facts of the case, that is the one time where I'm saying, whoa, I'm usually off for any chance you want. I don't care if Michael Irvin gets hurt and you cheer the hell out of him. I don't think it's a classy move, but I wouldn't voice my opinion about it. But when it comes to something like that, where someone just would be falsely accused and had their life ruined because of it, I say, well, that's a bit much.
And here's what I'm saying. Nobody signs up for slander. Now, you know when you sign up in the public eye that you're going to have people throwing things your way that aren't true, are true. Your privacy level is going to go down. Something could be true, something could not be true. Patrick Kane knows as a professional athlete, he's in the spotlight.
Okay.
This isn't his first game. I'm just saying, you never heard any politician. All the rumors that come out about all the politicians running. All the things. Donald Trump hates women. Donald Trump does this. Donald Trump does that.
Donald Trump hates women. That was supported by statements that he made. There are videos.
And then there's also a lot of things that he did in very positive form. You know that 50% of the executives in his own companies are women? Actually more than the men. So there's a lot of things that are for Donald Trump. So let's not get into whole Donald Trump this and that.
But I'm saying there are videos where he shows his own words. Like, I don't... Again, there's arguments to be made. I don't think there's... If you follow the Kane case at all, I don't think there's an argument to be made for yelling at. And I don't think it's... Like I said, there's very few chance I get up in arms about.
Let me tell you something. People weren't yelling it because they were defending the girl. They were yelling it to talk shit on Patrick Kane. So
is fine. However, I'm saying in this instance, I think the fans were wrong. Now, that's my opinion as Matt from Matt and Garrett.
Yeah, I got
that. That is my opinion. I'm entitled to it. Just like you're entitled to
it. I can't take it away, right.
But I like I said, I wouldn't censor it. I wouldn't mute the TV.
Right.
However, I, as a Philly fan, am a bit ashamed of that.
Mm-hmm.
But that is my opinion.
And I understand that.
And we're going to get back to sports in 1 second. But since you so much like it, I will try to give you the final word.
Yeah, I do love having the final word. But either way, my point is, people are up in arms about that. People are up in arms saying...
No one's up in arms, just me.
Well, I'm not saying you. From people calling in sports radio all day saying, oh, I can't believe the Philadelphia fans. Even people who live here, people who don't live here, they just wanted to call to talk about that one subject.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's why I brought it up. Right, and that's why I'm saying it. It's not like I just, said it.
I think you would agree. Usually, I am all against the national media bashing Philly fans.
And my point is... that you can't judge this because it's convenient for you and then not judge slander and derogatory and inappropriate comments towards something else where you support the situation. I'm not saying you did. I'm saying in general.
But, again, I showed you why I disagree. Because, like I said, the difference is the repercussions. And this could ruin a guy's life versus...
I don't think the Philly fans yelling it in a hockey game is going to make a difference in the case.
again, you don't know who you're talking to. Let's bring it back, because everything is connected. The wire told us that. Anyway, but...
Seinfeld and Curb taught you that, because everything always comes together at the end.
Anyway, like I said, you never know who's going to be on that jury if that did come to trial. And that's why,
Yeah, but you know what? It's not like this. It's a private story that nobody has opinions on right now. Patrick Kane's in the public eye, so I have my opinion on things. You have your opinion on things. A bunch of people chanting something who have no more knowledge of a situation than me shouldn't change your opinion on what you already feel. Then when you go into the court case, you should listen to the facts, listen to everything going on, and make up your own mind.
You're saying should, but it doesn't always happen.
But it doesn't always happen where people chanting changes somebody's opinion too, like you're making it out to be. Like you're saying, this could have such horrible repercussions, but you don't know if this is going to affect anything. So you're saying should and if too.
I'm saying innocent until proven guilty was a virtue that this country was founded upon, and everything in this case is pointing to that this guy is innocent.
And he might very well be innocent.
And I don't think, and there are very few subjects that I feel are taboo, especially in sports.
I think he there's a good shot he's innocent. I'm not disputing the fact that he's innocent or guilty. I'm saying that
I
this chant...
There are very few subjects that are taboo to yell at a player in sports. However, a possible false rape charge, I think, is one that is very hard to defend.
I think it's all fair. I'm not saying it's great, and it is tasteless a little bit, and I'm not saying that I would participate and chant it. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying that if you're allowed to chant certain things and say things about other people, you're allowed to do it to Patrick Kane.
I just think it's tasteless.
And I just don't think that you could judge and say that you're wrong, that Philadelphia fans are wrong in this situation, if you're not going to judge everybody else that fits your agenda. And I'm not saying you in general. I'm just saying in general. I'm not saying you specifically. I'm saying people can't call in and say Philadelphia fans are disgraceful, disrespectful, this, that, and the other. But then when similar situations happen to things that support their thoughts and support their agendas, they're all for it. Because then you're a hypocrite. And when you're a hypocrite, you really don't have an opinion on other things, because then you're all biased.
Yeah, we're all hypocrites in one way.
Everybody's a hypocrite, and I'm not denying that. But I'm a hypocrite too sometimes. But at least I admit it. These people don't admit it.
Anyway, let's move on. We've got to get back to the Eagles.
And when you're a hypocrite like that, you shouldn't have a right to say, you know, because then you go, and then you're saying people listen to other people and their opinions matter. But if you're being a hypocrite, then everything that you're in favor of, you're supporting. When everything you're against, you're saying it's just ridiculous. It gets me mad.
Anyway, last week we got killed in our suicide pool.
And if everybody's a hypocrite in some sort of way, which they are.
Let's finish this.
If everybody's a hypocrite in some sort of way, which they are, then there is not one thing that could be said in this country, not one defense, not one argument that could be definitive. And then what you're saying is that if you have to have definitive evidence to prove anything, that you can't have it, because there's always somebody who's going to have to be a bias, who's going to have a biased opinion on it. That's my point.
Okay. Anyway.
I hate when people ignore my points.
So
go on.
I feel like I've acknowledged it. You made the same point 3 times. And I use the last word every time. So, we're going on to FanDuel, because unfortunately we had a suicide pool, but we slipped.
Yeah, but I think that's... I like going over the games.
You're going to get to go over some as we pick our FanDuel game. So, Garrett, let's see who you like at quarterback.
Well, I mean, obviously everybody loves Tom Brady, the whole revenge game. Deflate Gate, he's going to go in there and dominate. I mean, he's always a choice. The problem is he's going to be he's expensive, and he's going to be very highly owned, so you're not going to have much of an advantage to play him. I mean, he's not a bad choice, obviously. He's consistent. You know, Rodgers isn't a bad choice ever. I think there's a lot of cheaper options out there that I liked.
How about Carson Palmer at $8,000?
Yeah, Carson Palmer's a decent... He's a decent mid-range option against a pretty poor Pittsburgh defense.
I think he's a top point option.
I'm saying price-wise, mid-range.
He's not quite mid-range. He's still in the upper echelon.
I think some of the lower-end guys, Colin Kaepernick has a really good matchup versus a really bad Baltimore pass defense. I know Colin Kaepernick's far from consistent, but he's definitely Andy Dalton's been pretty cheap lately. He's going against Buffalo. I'm not really that much of a fan of it this week, but Matt Stafford's a bounce-back candidate. I know he's been bad all year, but he's going against a mediocre to poor Chicago defense. A lot of people aren't going to be playing him, which is big in tournaments because the percentage owned is a huge, huge factor in winning and losing tournaments. He's somebody who's not going to be highly owned, who's affordable, and is going to allow you to stack the other positions. Joe Flacco going to San Francisco is not a bad choice. Obviously, San Fran's not a great team. Joe Flacco's been a pretty consistent fantasy quarterback. And then Jay Cutler, you know, for the same reasons, going into Detroit, who's not a great team. So, you know, there's some options on every level. Right. There's options on every level. It just really depends.
$1,100 is worth it. I think.
So go with Carson Palmer. He's a good option.
Palmer's versus that Pittsburgh D, and I think that's going to be a shootout, too.
I don't think it's going to be. I mean, Vic's terrible.
They might blow him out, but I still think that they're going to throw a lot. All right, running back, who do you like? I don't like Le'Veon Bell this week.
No, I don't hate Le'Veon Bell. I think Le'Veon Bell is always a safe choice. He's better on DraftKings because it's PPR. This is only half PPR. The thing is, if they want any shot to beat Arizona, Le'Veon Bell is going to have a huge game. Because Michael Vick sucks. I do like, as far as more expensive backs in that range, I think Matt Forte is my favorite of the week. I think he matches up well with Detroit. He's going to catch a lot of passes. Jeffrey's still questionable. I think Arian Foster could have a big game. A few of the cheaper options. Eddie Lacy, I think, has a tremendous matchup and a tremendous opportunity based on the spread, based on the game he's playing against San Diego at home. Right, he's pretty affordable. I do like Eddie Lacy this week. He hasn't been good all year, but I like him this week. I think Giovanni Bernard in a PPR league is a good choice to look at. Buffalo ranks really well versus the pass. They're ranked 21st versus the run, and they're also ranked like 24th versus giving up catches to running backs. Obviously, that's Giovanni Bernard's strength. He gets a lot of carries, but he's a great receiving back. So I think he has some extra additional value in PPR leagues. I think Lamar Miller's a little bit of a sleeper. Tennessee is very good against the pass, not as good against the run. They also give up catches to running backs. But there's a sleeper at tight end who plays for the Dolphins who I wanted to get into. So you can't really play two Dolphins. But there's a couple options there.
All right, what about receiver,
Gary? I think DeAndre Hopkins is right now the best receiver fantasy-wise. His targets are just tremendous.
He's playing at Jacksonville.
He's playing at Jacksonville, so it's a good matchup. I actually like Eric Decker a lot this week. He's a cheaper option.
I like him better than Marshall.
Yeah, and here's why. Because Washington ranks very well. They're like 6 against number one receivers. They're 29th against number two receivers, which means the way they're scheming their defenses or their number one corner is having success against the number one option, leaving the second receiver there to make the plays. Obviously, Decker's cheaper too, which gives you more money at other positions, and I don't think this week Marshall's a huge advantage. I think Marshall's obviously the better player, but I think based on the price, I would go with Decker. I think Calvin Johnson could finally have a good week. I know he's been struggling a little bit. I think Odell Beckham is in for a big week if he's healthy. The Eagles rank 29 against number one receivers. They rank in the top 10 against all the other receivers because their defense has been playing well, which means for number one receivers are just killing them, and that's the only thing that's killing them right now. So Odell Beckham could be in for a pretty big game. Who else is there? Anquan Boldin's a cheap option against Baltimore, but he's risky.
How do you think about Julio at New Orleans?
I would stay away from him.
Really?
He's great. No, listen, he could have 200 yards and 3 touchdowns tonight, and it wouldn't surprise me, but he's still questionable. There's still talk about he might be on a snap count. I think they've been handing the ball off more. And listen, if Julio goes out for 180 yards and 2 touchdowns, I'm not going to be surprised. He's the best receiver in football, arguably. But I just stay away from him based on price this week.
What do you think about Julian Edelman versus Vontae Davis, who might be dinked up?
Yeah, does Vontae Davis cover does he cover the best receiver, or does he just cover a side?
He covers the best receiver.
you know, he's going to be highly owned because everybody's going to own Patriots. He's another guy I'd probably stay away from just because he's going to be so highly owned.
How about Keenan Allen at Green Bay?
I don't like Keenan Allen as much this week. Green Bay, I mean, he could have a good game. He's a good receiver, but Green Bay is really, really good against the pass.
Cooks in Atlanta versus
Atlanta. I think Cooks could have a decent game, especially if the price is right.
Here's a big one. 6,600. How about Jordan Matthews versus the Giants?
He's been so inconsistent all season. You know, I would rather go with a cheaper option if I was going to go with an Eagles pass catcher like a Zach Ertz potentially or a Josh Huff if Nelson Aguilar doesn't play. He hasn't practiced all week.
6,600, I think he's actually valued.
So play him. I mean, it's your team.
I think that's the one I'm going to veto you on. You don't like that.
I don't dislike him. He could have a good game. Obviously, the Giants don't have a great pass defense. It's just he's been so inconsistent, and the Eagles like to spread the ball around, which hurts.
Jarvis Landry at Tennessee.
Yeah, Jarvis Landry is great. He's better in a PPR league, though. This is only half PPR,
half
right?
Half PPR
is not full PPR.
All right. Well, who do you like better?
I got to really look at them. I mean, I'm going to look at them.
All right, here's the top-end options. Julio Jones at New Orleans. You don't know. Because he's been upgraded to probable, though. Dan Quinn told Tracy Wolfson that Jones' hamstring won't be held to a pitch count on Thursday's game at New Orleans.
All right, so he's going
to
play the whole game. He could have a great game. He's also probably the most expensive receiver on the list, isn't he?
9,200.
Right.
We got DeAndre Hopkins, who will take it. Demaryius Thomas is 8,300 at Cleveland.
He could have a good game.
Calvin is 8,200. Randall Cobb is 8,100. Versus San Diego. That might be an option.
He's an option, too. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is always – but if you're playing Eddie Lacy, do you want to play Lacy and Cobb? Because then you're rooting for one of them to score the touchdowns.
I think they both could. But...
So play them both.
No, you hold a decent point. I'm looking at some of these options. I want Steve Smith, but I want to know that he's playing. Before.
Yeah, I like Steve Smith, but again, he's the same thing. I'm not sure exactly what's going on with him.
Allen Robinson at Houston.
Yeah, Allen Robinson's always a threat to have big games. Houston's obviously not that good. I liked Allen Robinson last week a lot. I love Allen Robinson as a player. I don't know. I'm just not feeling him this week. Houston.
Team is Bryant coming back against Arizona.
He's a little bit of a sleeper there, but it's hard to trust anybody. If you can't trust Antonio Brown, you can't trust Martavis Bryant. And right now, you can't even trust Antonio Brown.
How about Kamar Eakin in San Francisco?
Got to see what's up with Steve Smith. I mean, I'm not.
Kendall Wright against Miami.
Yeah, Kendall Wright's a good option.
$5,800.
It's pretty affordable. He's pretty cheap. Kendall Wright's a decent option.
Yeah, I'll take it. Let's see what we got. All right, like I always like to do now, I generally will go to my kicker and defense to see how much I have left. What defense should we take?
I like the Jets as my top defense this week at home against Washington.
That's not a bad choice, 4,800. I agree. I concur.
If you want to go cheaper, if you need to save money, I think Detroit could be pretty good against Chicago.
The only defense I like better is Denver.
Yeah, Denver's. Denver's always really good. Houston has a good matchup this week. Oh, Houston hasn't been that good this season. Yeah.
Seattle's got Carolina. I don't like that matchup.
Nah, they could turn Cam over.
And Arizona's the top ranked defense against Pittsburgh.
Arizona's been ball hawks all year. They've been scoring touchdowns, making plays. Michael Vick sucks. It's definitely a recipe for a big game, but.
Jets and Broncos better.
All right, so choose one of them.
I'm taking the Jets, but if we have extra money, then I'm taking the Broncos.
All right, that's fair.
All right, what kicker should we take?
I don't care. It doesn't matter. I don't play on FanDuel, so I never have to choose a kicker.
13.8, Gatkowski is number one, 5,100. I think it's probably worth it. All right. All right, we got 7,500 remaining for a tight end.
Okay.
Number one option. Rob Gronkowski, 8,200.
Yeah.
We're priced out. Number two.
Unless you go cheaper defense and kicker, which you could always do.
Yeah, 700 cheaper. I don't know if we can do it. But I think he's going to be highly owned anyway.
Yeah, he definitely is.
So there's no point. How about Jimmy Graham?
Mm-hmm. He's too unpredictable.
Greg Olsen. in Seattle.
He gets a lot of targets. I hate playing people in Seattle. Yeah.
How about Kelsey and Minnesota?
It's an option. I mean, especially with Charles out, you don't know how that running back situation is going to go. They have to throw the ball more. I'm not sure how that's going to work out. I like Ertz, and I like Jordan Cameron as cheap sleeper options.
How about Gates and Green Bay?
I don't know. I just, yeah, I think he's not going to have a repeat of last game, I think.
You like Ertz and you like who?
And I like Jordan Cameron as cheap options because I think Jordan Cameron going against Tennessee, Tennessee ranks really well across the board, but they're not very good against tight ends. So he could be in play to get a lot of targets. He's also second on the team in targets for the season. But he's an option who, if you want to save money and get somebody better at another position, he's not somebody you choose to be your tight end if you have $4,000 left. I also like Martellus Bennett a lot, too.
All right. Well, we're at the exact Ertz. So now we have 8,300 left. What of the top receivers do you like best? Demaryius Thomas, Calvin Johnson, Randall Cobb, A.J. Green.
Oh, boy. That's like, you know, you might as well just put their names in the hat and choose
Brandon
you have the same best.
Emmanuel Sanders.
Maybe Demaryius.
You like Demaryius. I'm still scared of Joe Hayden a little bit.
So take Calvin Johnson.
I think that's the play. All
right.
We got 100 remaining. Let's see what the defense can do. Our defense, 4,800 versus 5,000. Oh, I need one more 100.
I wouldn't switch out a player for this for the Broncos defense. I'll just leave it as is.
Let me see what Lamar Miller options are. 6,500. Is there any 6,500 or 6,300 that would be suitable? Rashad Jennings, no. Isaiah Crowell, he's playing Denver, no. Kendrick West at Minnesota.
I don't know. I don't know how it's going to kick out.
Let's just enter it.
Yeah, that's fine. It's a good lineup.
So far, we're 0-3 cashing.
Well, it's maybe, you know, 1 out of 4, that's 25%. You can increase your percentage by 25% if you cash this time.
Absolutely.
So there it is. So that's some positive notes. So, I don't know. What else is on your mind? Is there anything else to close out with?
Well, we're just going to close out with basically how – what do you have planned for your weekend? We're already an hour and a half in, believe it or not.
Yeah, because we had a lot of good arguments before. I don't know.
I don't like to call them arguments. I call them spirited debates.
That's a positive outlook on it. I am not sure what I'm doing this weekend. I'll see what's going on. Maybe I'll go out. Maybe I won't. It really just varies on what's happening. So, what about you?
Why don't you ever invite me out, Gary?
Do you want to come out if I go out this weekend? You would probably not say yes.
No, I probably have to stay with the girlfriend.
There it is. So, what about you? Is that what you're doing? You're staying with the girlfriend?
Yeah. I don't know if she's working. That's a good question. She might be working. Actually, I think she is. I'm going to watch her red zone. Like I always do.
That's always a good option. Sundays are great.
Yeah,
just watch football all day.
Why don't you come over and fucking watch Red Zone with me?
Let me know. Give me a call. I usually like to watch the games by myself, to be honest with you. Nothing personal against you. I just don't like watching games at bars or with other people as much.
No, I'm freaking in the back room sleeping. I'm in pajamas wrapped up in blanket. I mean, it's not going to be formal. We'd just be, if she's not home, we'd just be watching. I'd have to clear it with her, but. We'd just be watching the games.
All right, well.
Mostly Red Zone Channel.
Yeah.
Unless the Eagles are on. Then I flip.
Well, they're on Monday night, so.
Oh, yeah.
Not
so
a problem.
Just be strictly be Red Zone.
All right, we'll see. Give me a call on Sunday, and we'll see what's up.
Yeah, and how about Saturday night? We'll be going out?
Yeah, come out. If I go out, I'll invite you out, and chances are you'll say no.
Yeah, I'm old. I don't really go out anymore.
All right. Well, again, hopefully the Eagles could win. If not, if they lose, they're probably done. This is do or die. I think Eli's the man. I love Eli. I don't care if I'm on a Philadelphia station. I want the Eagles to win, but I do love Eli. I think he's a Hall of Famer, and I think that was a tremendous comeback versus the 49ers last week, and I think that the Eagles are in for a much tougher game than they were against the Saints.
Yeah.
And they could win, but, you know, people are back on the train.
By the way, in the Dynasty League, are we doing that trade or no?
No, I can't give up Gurley for Luck. There would have to be other things involved.
Yeah, definitely not.
I can't do it then because Todd Gurley is going to be a top three pick every year for the next 7 years, and I would never choose Andrew Luck over him in an individual draft, so I can't do it. But we can talk about other stuff. We'll talk about that off the air. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Hit us up on Twitter at Talk with Matt and Garrett. Talk Talk W Matt, letter N, Garrett, G-A-R-R, or at Matt Cisco. Phone number is always the same, 602-753-1597. Hit us up on iTunes and the other station. What's the other station?
Podcast Addict, if you have an Android device.
Podcast Addict at Philly Sports with Garrett and Matt.
Yes.
And
Sports Talk. That's Philly Sports with Garrett and Matt, yeah.
Philly Sports with Garrett and Matt. So there's their all the ways to hit us up. Give us some questions, feedback, anything you want to hear for the next show. Call in, listen, enjoy, and have a great weekend.
All right, guys. See you next week.